We are now at verse 13 of Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you come in power this morning. And use David as he speaks through your words, Lord, that you will speak through him. And that you fill our hearts with your love and grace. And teach us, Lord, more about you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will bless us. And that we'll leave the church today, Lord, full of you, Lord. And encourage that you are God. I pray your blessings upon David and the words that he's going to speak to us now. I pray in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mike and Nelia. And it was so wonderful at the beginning of the service to see another one of our old mission partners who came back at a key point in my life to Brighton and really ministered deeply to myself and Laura. Rita Leach, I saw you as you were coming in. Where are you? Rita, right at the back. Can we just give a big thank you and welcome to Rita? Rita and her husband Dave, who's now in glory, had such an impact on our lives, myself and Laura, and on many lives in this church. And Rita, we're so delighted to see you. And it's a reminder, isn't it? Even if you're just in Brighton for a season, maybe you're just an international student or come even for a holiday. Maybe you've gone somewhere on holiday. That God can use you, even in a brief time, to have a profound impact. I've been so helped just praying and thinking about this passage and just spending time with Becca, who's been hosting for us, about her kind of thankfulness for warnings. It's really ministered to me because this is it's a challenging passage for a preacher. This is a passage full of warnings of deception. It's a passage about being careful who you listen to. And I just love that kind of heart that Becca's been encouraging us in, of thinking, yeah, warnings are actually good. We've been singing about our good, good Father, and he gives us, Jesus gives us such clear warnings in our passage today. You know, we had our little signs, didn't we? Our kind of warning signs, and my daughter's doing her driving lessons at the moment, and it's probably most on it out of anyone here, maybe a few others, about the highway code. So I was kind of listening out there. But I remember not long after I had learned to drive, I went to a new city, and I was working there doing a summer job, and I missed this sign. I went down, it was thankfully a short one-way street, the wrong way. Very thankfully, no cars were coming the other way. And then at the end of the one-way street, when I'd been completely oblivious, because sometimes, let's be honest, we are when we've missed the signs. When I was completely oblivious that I'd been going the wrong way down a one-way street, a police car comes in front of me, stops, puts on its sirens, gets me to stop, and says, "Do you realize you have been going the wrong way down a one-way street?" I was very embarrassed, mortified, and strongly reprimanded. And I was very thankful I didn't get any points. But you know what? I don't want any of us here to miss the warning signs. And warning signs often present us with a choice. To go this way or that road or that road, this speed or that speed. And you know, there's something about Jesus' words that present to us the kind of importance of making a choice. It was very moving to listen to a speech from an MP, Danny Kruger, that he made to an empty, almost empty parliament chamber this past week or so. And I watched it in full this week, and he was encouraging and challenging the nation, really, particularly Parliament, to turn back to its Christian roots. He spoke about how the cross is there on the crown and in Parliament, even above the Speaker's chair, and the importance of coming back under the cross. And he spoke very powerfully about the choice we have about which way we will go, which way Parliament will go. And you know, we often get caught up in all kinds of things. I mean, sometimes they're fun, sometimes they have little life lessons to teach us that you might have missed. So today you might, this afternoon, possibly watch a game of football. The Euro finals, the Lionesses are in it, and it's quite something. But as you watch this, I want you to remember the message. Because actually in football, the global sport, we kind of get something of this thing of choices. You know, in this match this afternoon, there'll be two teams, England and Spain. All the best to any Spanish supporters here. And there'll be two goals and two sides. And even in a kick around in the park, if someone came to join the game and you said, "Okay, which side do you want to be on, this kind of side or that side?" And they said, no, I'm going to be on another side, on my own side. You kind of go, no, that's not the way it works. You've got to pick. That side is aiming for that goal and heading that way. This side is aiming for that side. And you know, even in football, we get this concept and everyone understands that you've got to make a choice. Which team are you on? But when it comes to life in our postmodern age, we don't like to be presented with absolutes, with stark choices like that. We kind of think, oh, life is so complicated, and it is. But Jesus gives us very, very clear, kind of almost radically simple, straightforward choices. He talks about there being two sides, two groups, two paths, two gates, two destinations. And he says to all of us this morning, you are either heading one way or the other. And so I want to ask you this morning, I've got a number of questions. This is my first question. Which way are you going? Which way are you going? Listen to what Jesus says. He says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Which way are you going? There is a narrow way that leads to life, and you enter it only through a narrow gate. And there is a broad way, a broad gate, a gate that you almost might have missed that you've gone through because it's so broad. And there's a broad path where you can kind of meander, go a bit this way, a bit that way, do a bit of this, take a bit of that, pick a bit of this. And there's loads of people on it. It's the popular way. But it's a way that ends, Jesus says. What's the word he uses? destruction. It's like, I don't know if we got it here in the warning signs. I'm trying to look back and think on that warning picture. No, we don't. There's one of those warnings, the signs that has the kind of car going off a cliff. Do you remember that warning sign from the highway code? It's not up there. I just checked. But it's a kind of like this, one of these trying. It just basically has this thick warning. If you keep going that way, you'll go off a cliff. And it's like Jesus is saying to us, pleading with his people, what does he do? He doesn't just say, oh, there are these two options. How does he start? It's a very strong verb he gives us. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Jesus longs that all of you here, and as I've been praying for this time, that's my longing too. In my life, that's my longing, that we would enter the narrow gate and walk along the narrow path. Why does Jesus want us to do that? Because he wants us to have life. He loves us. He's good. He's good. He's good for you if you're watching online. Whatever your background, he's calling us to enter the narrow way, to walk the narrow path, because that is the path to lead to life. And so you might be thinking, well, David, how do I do that? Well, Jesus wonderfully helps us if we're wondering, what is the narrow gate? What is this way that Jesus speaks of, the narrow way? Well, Jesus says to us that later in one of the Gospels, he says, look, I am the gate. Jesus is the narrow gate. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you want to go that narrow way, you need to come to Jesus. You need to, as it were, turn from going our way to going his way, to come and put our trust in him, to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I want to follow your path, your way, your teachings in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been thinking about in recent weeks. That's the way I want to go. And you might already have been listening to some of this teaching and you go, yeah, but that's quite hard to live out. The thing about the narrow way is it is hard. It's steep at times. It feels kind of like tight. But actually, it is the best way. It is the better way. It's the way that leads to life. And Jesus encourages us on it. You know, the wide gate is easy. There's loads of room. There's plenty of space for diverse opinions, relaxed moral standards, permissiveness, no boundaries. People do as they please. And it isn't therefore surprising that many follow that route. It takes no effort to go down that road. It just comes naturally to us. But the narrow way, on the contrary, is hard. It's a better way, but a harder way. This is what John Stott writes about it. He says this, its boundaries are clearly marked. Its narrowness comes from divine revelation. The gate is narrow because to enter it, we must leave everything behind. Sin, selfish ambition, covetousness, even if necessary, family and friends. For no one can follow Christ who has not first denied himself. Jesus' way is putting Jesus above everything. Saying we're not going to try and do a kind of holding on to Jesus and holding on to doing the things our way or the world's way. No, it's like, Jesus, your way. But Jesus then is the way that leads us to life because he has conquered death and he's alive with resurrection power and he can give us what no one else can give us. And so he encourages us to follow that way. But staggeringly, even though around the world this message has been spreading that his way is the way, yet still there are these two crowds. There are many who are on that road to destruction. And so at times, if you're seeking to follow the narrow way, it can feel quite isolating. Maybe you've experienced that at college, or in your workplace, or on your street, or even in your family. Maybe there's not really anyone else who is following that way, and it can feel quite isolating. And I wanted to say, as I was praying for this time and praying for you, if you're trying to walk the narrow way and it feels tough and isolating, I want to say, keep going. Keep looking to Jesus, the one who we're following along that way. Keep remembering it's worth it when it's tough. I was remembering as I was praying this morning with some of the elders and the elder support team. I was just we were praying, and I was remembering this old song we used to sing when I was little. It goes, "When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a faithful friend, one on whom you can depend. He'll be with us till the end. Fix your eyes upon him. There you go. Mary Taylor knew it too. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to him. And remember, as you try and walk the narrow way, as you determine to enter the narrow gate, Jesus is not telling us this to contradict what he's told us earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. The narrow way, remember, is his way, and that's the way that don't judge, or you too will be judged. So it's not about us going along and thinking, oh, yep, narrow way, not narrow way. It's like, that's why I'm asking the question, which way are you going? You and I. What is the way that we're on? And then if we have that care and concern for others, we're going to want to share this invitation of Jesus, not in a way that makes a judgment over them, but just encourage them, hey, come into that narrow gate, walk that narrow way. It's worth it. It's the best way. Listen to the warnings of Jesus. Let that be our heartbeat. So which way are you going? And then secondly, which voice are you listening to? Jesus goes on and he says very strikingly this, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You know, Old and New Testament are really clear. There are false prophets and false teachers. We don't kind of like that thought. We kind of often struggle and think, well, you know, we don't want to kind of have to try and discern that. But you know, even the BBC has their kind of BBC Verify page, because they know that people spout all kinds of stuff that's just not true. And so Jesus is warning us, just because someone calls themselves a Christian and then starts speaking stuff, it doesn't mean what they're speaking is true. There are false prophets and false teachers. There are, and this is how dangerous it gets, wolves in sheep's clothing. But Jesus says, don't worry. He says, watch out. Really clear verb again, watch out. But he says, look, you will be able to tell. You will be able to tell. They might dress up and call themselves something, but you will be able to tell. And this is how he says you'll be able to tell. He says, look, he goes on and says, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves, but by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears bad fruit, and every bad tree bears bad. Likewise, say it with me. Every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bad fruit. Exactly. That's how you can tell. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So, who are you listening to? And can you see the fruit of their lives? Because that's how you're going to tell. You know, one of the things in our amazing digitally connected world is you can listen to anyone from anywhere, and there are some phenomenally helpful, gifted teachers and speakers all across the world. But the thing you might not be able to see is the fruit of their lives. And so just be mindful of that. Be watching out. And then there are the people who you can see the fruit of their lives. This is one of the reasons why it's really worth listening to, like, you know, your parents, your grandparents, the people who you've seen live life for a long time. It's one of the reasons I was so helped and blessed by Dave and Rita. We used to get lunch with them, and we could be up close and see their lives. It's why it's great being in a community group. You can see the lives of others who are speaking into that group. And that's where it gets challenging, doesn't it? Because we also know that none of us are perfect. And so this kind of passage gets us to do soul searching. God, I want the things that I say, and I hope you want the things that you say to be like good fruit that's coming from a good tree. You know, it's like Jesus is saying, You know, you can tell if it's an apple tree because what's on the tree? Yeah, and it's different, isn't it, than a satsuma tree, because on a satsuma tree, you're going to get satsumas. And Jesus isn't saying, what you need to do is, so don't worry what kind of tree you are, you just sellotape on the right fruit, and it will be okay. You know, like, okay, yep, you know, you do, you hang chocolates, don't you, on the Christmas tree. But this is not that kind of thing. That doesn't make it a chocolate tree, by the way. But the tree comes because the tree has changed. Jesus came to make you and I, as we follow him, as we put our trust in him, a new tree, a whole new tree that has a whole new kind of way of living and life. The fruit that comes out of it then is fruit that looks like Jesus. It's that amazing, wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Is that the fruit you're seeing in the lives of those you're listening to? And actually, is that maybe, as well as you share with others, is that the fruit that is in your life and my life? And you know, the Bible says that out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. So also keep listening to the people, because often they'll give as they keep speaking, you'll see what's in their heart. And you'll be able to tell a lot about what's in a person's heart. So watch for the fruit. And let's be attentive in this age where there's so many voices. Which voices are you and I listening to? Again, let's examine our own lives and hearts. Let's make sure that we're allowing good fruit to come in our lives. You know, Oswald Chambers writes this. He says, sin is blatant mutiny against God. Either sin or God must die in my life, or the other way around. So either sin's going to, yeah, this is maybe a way of saying it. In your relationship with God, is God putting sin to death in your life, or is sin in your life killing your relationship with God? A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree, bad fruit. So which voices are you listening to? What fruit are you bearing in your life? And Jesus just says those two options. It's quite stark, isn't it? And then he comes to a final section, and this is like him beginning his conclusion. We're going to be thinking more about this next week, but he's kind of helping us land, and he's asking us, which response will you and I make? What is the response we're going to give? And this is how it goes on, and he says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Here's a question. Are all who call themselves Christians, Christians who know Christ and follow Christ and have Christ living in them, are all who call themselves Christians, Christians? What's the answer? No. No is the right answer. Are all those who kind of say, yeah, I go to church, I sing songs that go, Lord, Lord, are all of them Christians who know Jesus and follow his way? No. Are all of those who kind of do things for God, you know, in his name? So like, yep, I'm doing great things. Like, I mean, what about this? Prophesying, driving out demons, performing miracles. Hey, you know, that's pretty cool. In the name of Jesus. They're okay, right? No. So what is Jesus saying are the ones who are going to be on this narrow way and those who are going to life? What is Jesus saying? He's saying that, as he says at the end, the key thing is, do they Not just do they know of Jesus, but does Jesus know of you and I? Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus have a relationship with you and I? And you might be saying, well, David, how do I know? I want that, but how do I know if I've got a relationship with Jesus? Well, here's the thing. Jesus says earlier, he says, it's only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. It's not just about what we say, it's what we do. It's like there are signs in our life. If you have a real relationship with Jesus and Jesus knows you, then you know that Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord and you've decided to go through that narrow gate and follow him on that narrow way, you know that actually you're wanting his will more than any other will in your life. And that is really challenging. It's a decision that we have to take and keep taking. It's the decision to say, Jesus, I want to follow you and be close to you. I want to make sure that you're the one that I'm listening to above all else. You know, when people asked Jesus, they said, what do we need to do to do the works that God requires? He said this, the work that God requires is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And that's really encouraging because actually the first and key thing we must do is believe in Jesus. It's that that breathes that new birth into us, that helps us know we're on that narrow gate. But then Jesus goes on and he says this in John 10 verse 27, my sheep listen to me and they know my voice and I know them and they do what? What's the last word? Well, last two words. And they follow me. If Jesus knows you, if you're his sheep, you're following the good shepherd, the one who leads us. You're deciding that actually his teaching is what I want my life to look like. What does obedience to him look like? You know, well, obedience looks like the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. It looks like us deciding we're going to be loving rather than all these other things. The anger, the lust, the revenge, the hypocrisy, the pride, the judgmentalism, the greed, it's saying, no, we're going to go the way of love, not that other way. We're going to go Jesus' way to follow his commands. And this is like later in John's gospel, almost like a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says to them in the final upper room before he dies the next day, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. He loves us so much. He's warning us and wants us to go the right way. And so what is his command? Love one another as I have loved you. And so I hope you're kind of saying by now, am I on the narrow way? Are you on the narrow? I hope you're doing some soul searching. I hope you're realizing that just because you're here, wonderful as that is, and I'm always so thrilled to see you, and it's great you're watching online. I hope you realize that that's no guarantee. And so I hope you're doing some soul searching, but I hope too, maybe if you've been around things of the church for a while, you're maybe asking another question. You're asking and saying, David, are you saying that we're saved by works rather than by grace and by faith? Are you saying that we need to kind of do stuff, this kind of Sermon on the Mount stuff? That's how we get saved. Are you saying that? And the answer to that is absolutely no. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and by a relationship with him. We're not saved by the good things we do, but by the good things Jesus has done. How are we saved? We're saved through Jesus and our relationship with him by putting our faith and trust in what he's done. But here's the thing. If we have faith in Jesus, if we have a real relationship with him, it will come out in our actions. It will change the tree. The kind of people we are will be different. You'll be able to tell, Jesus says. You'll be able to tell. In fact, James, Jesus' brother, who again picks up so many echoes of the Sermon on the Mount, says at the end of, in his letter, he says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It's the faith in Christ that saves us. It's our trusting in him, the narrow gate, the narrow way, the good shepherd. But when we trust in him, it changes our lives. We're following the Lord of love. His way is the way of love. Allow that to shape our lives. So what will your and I response be? You know, interestingly, it's not just this question, which response will you make? Actually, it's anticipating and thinking, what response will Jesus make to you and I? What will be his response on that day when he implies it here, this day when he'll ask us? Many will say to me, on that day when he meet with him, and it's not just what will my response be to him, but more key, what will his response be to you and I? And so maybe then in this time we think, okay, God, I want my relationship with you to be one where I really know you and you really know me, and I'm really committed to following you. And so we ask ourselves, are we doing the will of our Father in heaven? Are we following Jesus' way? You know, I want to come back to where I started in the intro. As you watch the Euros maybe this afternoon, even if you don't, you might see it on the news tomorrow. And I want to say this, it's quite uncomfortable, isn't it? Because the teams in a Euro match, they both have 11 people on the pitch, unless some of them get sent off and they go down to 10, like happened in one of the matches recently. But basically, Jesus is saying there's this small team, and then there's this massive team. And Jesus is saying, this team, this small team, my team, actually, ultimately, it's the winning team. And he wants you and I on his team. And here's the thing. He's willing to pay the transfer fee. He pays it with his blood so that you and I can join his team. But if you're joining his team, you've got to be going for that other goal. You've got to be following his leadership. You've got to let him be your captain. You've got to hear when he says, enter through the narrow gate, that in John 10, he says, I am the gate. That's what he says in John 10, 7. When he says, look, follow the narrow way, you've got to know that he says, I am the way, Jesus says in John 14, 6. When he talks about these ferocious wolves in sheep's clothing, you've got to remember that he is the true prophet, the one that we want to listen to above all. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He says that. And even as he talks about the different fruit and the trees, he says, look, I'm the true vine. You've got to be in me. You've got to be walking in abiding with me. And in fact, then as we think about who does the will of the Father, who's the one we're going to follow? Well, Jesus there in Gethsemane, he's the one who at great personal cost in the garden before he goes to the cross cries out, yet not what I will, but what you will, Father. Abba, Father, yet not what I will, but what you will. And that's what he invites us to follow him in. He says, look, I've done the transfer fee. Now come join my team. There is no other way we can be saved. As we were praying earlier, Mike Bray just had this word, and it was just simply this. Scribbled it down, Mike. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Gets repeated in the Old Testament and the New. And it's this invitation of Jesus, enter through the narrow gate. And so I just want us to pause and pray and still our hearts. And this is between you and God. We just say, come, Holy Spirit. And maybe, band, you might even want to just come up and be ready to lead us. Holy Spirit, would you just be moving and searching our hearts? You know each of our lives and our relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Just in this time, just ask God to search your heart. As we were praying earlier, Simon was praying that God might stir a spirit of repentance. That's a turning from going the broad way to following Jesus on the narrow way. That he might stir a spirit of faith to believe that Jesus is good news for you and I, to believe his words, And they might stir a spirit of joy and delight and thankfulness in these words of Jesus and in what he's done. The amazing invitation Jesus is saying, come and join my team, come and walk my way. And just as we're here in the presence of Jesus, I want to say this invitation, enter through the narrow gate, is for you today if you're not sure if you're on that narrow way. If you want to repent, to turn from the broad way, say, Jesus, I want to follow you on the narrow way. Then you might just want to echo these words in your heart. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where I've been going my way or the way of the world. Jesus, I believe you're the gate. You're the way. I believe you died for me and paid that transfer fee. I want to be a whole new tree bearing good fruit. I want to follow your way of life, your way of love. I want to give you my all. You just echoed that in your heart, and just with every head bowed, if you were praying that and you just want to kind of, as it were, signal, I want to today just kind of, as it were, between you and God and me, just say, yeah, I'm on the narrow gate. Would you just raise your hand where you are? Lord, you see our hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for those who are just turning to you today. Just coming and saying, Lord, we want to walk that narrow way. Would you fill them with your spirit? Would you guide them and lead them along that way? Would they not lose heart? You can put your hands down now. Lord, I just want to pray too for those of us who maybe just need to hear that other verb, watch out. Just as you follow all the different things that there are to follow, listen to all the different voices, just think for a moment, Holy Spirit, would you guide? Where do we need to watch out? What are you in danger of listening to that's a lie at the moment? Maybe think about the fruit that you're seeing from that voice. God, would you help us by your Spirit to be discerning, to watch out, to follow you, and to ourselves be good voices that bear good fruit to those around us, please.